This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and it's time for the Executive Spotlight. And look at this executive, not what you expected, but his name is Bucky O'Neill. He's an international speaker and a transformational coach. Welcome to Executive Spotlight, my friend. Bucky, welcome.
So good to be here. Appreciate you.
Great to have you. So talking about, you know, this transformation facilitator, a transformational coach. In the past, most people wouldn't even know what that is. But I think it's worse now because people think what it is. And there's so many different definitions of this transformational coach, mentor, facilitator, teacher. I like to bring out the distinctive qualities, skills, knowledge, and even desires, inspirations that transformation or transformational facilitators have. So I want to start there of specifically with your skills and your knowledge and your desire, how do you effectuate being a transformational facilitator?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's why we're here.
That's a great question. I think, you know, for me, facilitation means to make easy facile. And when I think about transformation, it's like, how do you really transform people's lives in a way that's going to impact what they're doing in their life, business, relationship, in their physiology, in their psychology, and in their spirituality? So transformation for me is not about the things that you know, but is more about the things that you've done consistently over time and how those impacted your life. So the facilitation of that is all experiential. How do we put people through processes, experiences, interactions that are going to allow them to have insights within themselves. And then our job is to be the orchestrator of that experience and to help them to go deeper into what's really there.
What's interesting about that is I've never thought about it. I'm a word person. I have dictionaries from way back when just to see the roots. I wish I was as quick and smart as and intelligent and academically intelligent as my brother, who like knows every Latin root and would have picked up on that facilitation means easy, facile, muy facile. And the entire paradigm shift to me in transformation is not more, but it's identifying what's interfering, blocking, creating a trajectory that we don't want. Dis-ease. And as a facilitator, someone that puts people at ease, we have to train them to identify dis-ease. How can we, number one, raise the awareness of the people that we're trying to help and want to change and want help to identify their specific disease? How do we first teach them to identify it?
You know, I think part of the awareness comes just from incongruency in their life. I think most people already have that. They already have a relationship to like, this relationship's not working. My business is not working. I'm not where I want to be physically, or I'm not where I want to be financially. I have conflicts already. So I think, you know, the convincing people of incongruency for me is not the first step. The first step is making yourself available so that people who are in the space of understanding that there's a disconnection have a resource to go to. I think one of the hardest things to do is what you said is try to, you know, and that being said, you know, I think everything that I do from a facilitation standpoint is about holding a mirror. It's about allowing people to see themselves more authentically. And that can happen through conversation. That can happen through experience. I think about the firewalk and things like this. And I talk about the firewalk and I say, you know, the firewalk can be your greatest teacher. She's going to teach you everything that there is to know about yourself. You're going to see yourself in different ways. And I don't think it's very often that people come face to face with themselves in a way that's real and authentic. But then from that point, it's like, okay, you know, the question is, what do you want to do with that? What do you want to create with that? Where do you want to go with that? And it's steps, right? Facilitate, you know, transformation is one of these things that you can have a breakthrough and an insight. But, you know, the full transformation within your life is the application of that in your life, business, and relationships.
And part of being an international speaker is being a facilitator. It's just who you're facilitating to. And that leads me to my question that as a facilitator, a mentor, a coach, a teacher, all skill sets of a facilitator, that's how we make things easy and identify the dis-ease is by mentoring, teaching, and coaching. There's a question that comes up in working with you, it really helped me clear some of the dis-ease. And it's a question that we really didn't have to ask or your parents didn't have to ask, because they were working with Tony Robbins. They were doing the firewalks. They were probably teaching Tony about the firewalks. Yeah. So, and it's in that nuance that I realized that today as facilitators, whether you're a speaker and call yourself an international speaker, is just really a question of how many. Before you didn't have to ask how many because there wasn't a total addressable community of 7.6 billion people.
Yeah.
It was limited to maybe your zip code or the college you were teaching at or the mastermind or the group or the number of one-on-one clients that you could have and facilitate to, or the size of the audience that you were speaking on a stage to. Mm. But today, people like you and I who want to empower others to empower others have to make a cognitive decision about how many.
Mm.
Have you considered that question for yourself?
I have.
And what were the variables that are helping you to prioritize how many?
Yeah. I grew up watching one to many. I grew up watching thousands and formally trained to facilitate thousands of people. And for a long time in my 20s, I thought that was going to be my life. You know, it was, I remember when that wasn't coming to fruition in the way that I thought it was going to. I was probably like 26, 27 years old. And I was like, man, I'm going to be the next Tony Robbins. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create this stuff and it's going to be so amazing. And there was a time where I was really jaded. You know, I was traveling all over the world, speaking on different stages, thousands of people. But it was like, I was really jaded because it wasn't happening in the way that I thought it was going to happen. And it took me some time, some soul searching to be like, okay, well, if that's not it, then what is it? What is it? Right. You know, part of my namesake, Buckminster Fuller, he talks about processional effect, and the processional effect is the impact of life through the ripples of our impact. And he talks about that in context of the honeybee and how the honeybee is famous for, pollination, but has nothing to do with pollination, only knows nectar. Right. And this idea of like our purpose is intimately connected to the things that we'll never see in our lives, is that our impact is like the work that we're really meant for. We're never really going to know the full scope of it. But what's required is this depth of passion and focus and commitment. And I was like, OK, well, what is it that I'm really passionate about? Like, who am I really connected to? And for me, it was never about where the model changed. It wasn't about the amount of people that I can serve top line. It was really about the depth in which I could serve, knowing that that ripple effect would carry forward. So when I started to think about it and I really started to focus on my business, like, how can I focus on leaders? How can I focus on people of influence and share with them these philosophies of transformation so that they can go so deep within themselves, so deep within their clients, that this legacy of our impact, my wife and I, and their impact in their life ripples into humanity. And for me, you know, I always think about it like you can throw 100 stones into a pond or you can throw a few really big ones, and which one is going to have the bigger ripple effect. And that's how I've come to peace with all the different pieces. That being said, right, like I'm excited. I'm at a place where, you know, I feel like the vision of my life at 27 was a little bit premature. Right. I started at 17, started coaching at 17, started speaking at 22. So the vision of my life at 27 was a little bit premature. Now that I'm 42, I have a different perspective on how that impact can not only be quantified in depth, but also in reach.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Going way back, and I'm sure your parents knew this guy, Southern California guy, Dennis Whately.
Yeah.
One of the most impactful things that I learned around 42 for me. Yeah. As I learned what I didn't know and the more that I had to learn was I'm planting seeds under trees that I may never sit under.
Mm.
And it's the unraveling and the revealing and the awareness and the patience that it takes to be able to keep dropping big stones or to come to terms with how many or what is aligned with our values. There is a quantum shift that occurs. You've had that shift. I had mine around 42. Usually happens in men between 38 and 42. But it's an interesting place to be because you finally get to an awareness of, you know, I was premature in my vision to, hey, you know, I now have a vision that has more data that's tied to it.
Totally.
But even more importantly, I know I'm premature in my vision.
Right.
And so as we select and prioritize our vision,
yes,
our stone, our stones, the how many, what are some of the things that you're prioritizing in your life to live the most purposeful, fulfilled, passionate, and even profitable.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Existed.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a beautiful question. It's a big question. The thing that comes up for me is, you know, really the shift for me was realizing that my vision wasn't my own and that my life wasn't really about me and who I thought I needed to be in the world. And that a big part of my life was about surrendering my vision to a greater purpose and understanding the human design or the intelligent design of what my life was. I grew up with a father. I went through specific experiences. I had this formal training that caused me to be in a position to be able to influence in these different ways. I went through so much suppression as a younger kid. In high school, just so much disconnection and not knowing. There was a time when I said, you know, 90% of my life feels like I don't know who I am. It feels like I'm pretending to be somebody else. And now it's the opposite. It's like, now it's like 10%, right? But I really had to come to terms with, like, my vision's not my own. And there's a work for me to do that's greater than my own vision of self. And I just followed that. I just, you know, started to really embrace it, got really into spirituality and really started to embrace it. And I realized that in embracing it, you know, that there was this unfoldment to my life that was invisible to anything I could have planned. And I started saying for a long time, like, my best life is never how I planned it to be. Right. And coming from the personal development world where everybody says, well, you got to plan your life. What is your vision? What are your goals? Da, 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 da. And my first tattoo, right? I'm going to create success. That's my tattoo. I got in Mandarin after going through this, create success in your life. And it's like, no, I'm just going to surrender to what's unfolding. I'm going to trust that there's a divine purpose for my life. And I'm going to put everything into that. So what do I do on a daily basis? I put myself into aligned frequency to that, whether that's going to the beach or hanging out with my kids or getting on coaching calls. The priority of my life is what is in alignment to that vision that I know so deeply. And how do I put myself in environment, situation, interactions? In fact, how do I design my entire life and business so that I'm constantly in that frequency? And how do I find relationships and people that I know in my life so I can immerse myself into that frequency? Because from that frequency, everything's birthed. And I don't have to create it. I don't have to push or strive for it. I don't have to become it, right? I just immerse myself into what already is. And there's an information and insight that unfolds from there.
And that unfolding, that unraveling
yeah.
is contingent on a dependent variable of time. And it reminds me, when I'm coaching people and mentoring and teaching and facilitating these, it's interesting. I tell people all the time, if you just add today to your vision, the word today, this is what I think today, this is what I do today, this is what I feel today, this is what I say today, and then as the objectives or the vision in the future, which is infinite,
right,
the best thing that you can add, which will change and facilitate this ease and inspiration and intuition and intelligence, is or better.
Yes.
So if we just say, this is what I do today, say today, think today, believe today, feel today, because I want this in the future, blank, or better.
Or better.
We now have resolved and reconciled the universe, the intelligence, intuition, and inspiration that allows us to be better and to enjoy today.
Yeah.
To be present.
Yeah.
And you are one of the world's greatest facilitators of that measure and that vision.
Thank
not
you.
Only for you and your wife and your own family,
but
more impactfully for our community, which is now a total addressable community of 7.6 billion people. Mm. So the how many may just take care of itself if we alleviate the time and the ripple effect that you're having and the great impact that you're having.
Mm.
Bucky O'Neill, the buck stops here with our executive spotlight on Office Hours.